Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
G'day, welcome. Welcome, my name's Mark. And if you want to pull out your outlines there, and we'll be racing in there, so strap yourself in, pull your outlines out, and I'll give you context about what you're about to read. And also a welcome to our podcast guests. We found out who are listening in around the world too, so we welcome them. On your outline there, Paul is talking to young Christians at a place called Galatia. And he's explained to the Galatians about why he had to go back to Jerusalem had he been there a decade or so before. Because see, Paul was like the equivalent of our Nelson Mandela. He was that big that he went around the world in his time in the Middle Eastern area planting churches and helping the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, understand that they could connect with Christ, the living Christ. So Paul was off for years planting all these churches, telling people about Jesus, raising leaders and doing all this stuff. Along the way, he realized that there was actually opponents coming up behind him who were saying to various churches and to young Christians, going, it's okay to follow Jesus, that's good. Paul's right there, no worries, but there's all the add-ons. And the add-ons that they were talking about was you still have to follow the Jewish faith and the Jewish rituals and laws. And Paul started to suss out that that's a big problem. So he thought, well, I need to head back to Jerusalem and see my mates, the other apostles back in Jerusalem, and explain this to them, because what Paul was going back to is one of the most, if not the most important meeting in Christianity in the last 2,000 years. Now, I don't say that lightly, because that meeting would determine the fate of Christianity for then on. And Paul's result of that meeting has affected Christianity for 2,000 years, and it affects Gateway today in this place. See, Paul was going around saying it's Christ alone. That's the gospel. The spiritual religious thugs are coming along saying there's all the add-ons. So he goes back to Jerusalem and he says to the apostles, he says, look, not only can you not support these thugs, these religious thugs, but you can't even tolerate what they're on about, because it really is about Christ alone. So what you've got in front of you is Paul explaining to the Galatians what he was on about. And our fantastic drama team will now bring the scriptures alive as you've got them in front of you. So emotionally, and all those areas, get yourself into that time and space back then when what Paul was talking about.
Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again. This time with Barnabas, and Titus came along as well. I went there with definite orders from God to confer with the brothers there about the message I was preaching to the Gentiles. I talked privately to the leaders of the church so that they would understand just what I had been teaching, and, I hoped, agree that it was right.
And they did agree. They did not even demand that Titus, my companion, should be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question wouldn't have come up except for so-called Christians there, false ones, really, who came to spy on us and see what freedom we enjoyed in Jesus Christ, as to whether we obeyed the Jewish laws or not. They tried to get us all tied up in their rules like slaves in chains, but we did not listen to them for a single moment, for we did not want to confuse you into thinking that salvation can be earned by being circumcised and by obeying Jewish laws.
And the great leaders of the church who were there had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their being great leaders meant nothing to me, for all are the same to God.
And the great leaders of the church... in fact, when Peter and James and John, who were the pillars of the church, saw how greatly God had used me in winning the Gentiles, just as Peter had been so greatly blessed in preaching to the Jews, for the same God gave us each our special gifts. They shook hands with Barnabas and me and encouraged us to keep right on with our preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews.
The only thing they did suggest was that we must always remember to help the poor. And I too was eager for that.
Yeah. When man gets involved in religion, on your outline, there's always the fine print. There's always fine print that you find out about. And in that fine print is the extras. Yes, there's Jesus, but as those religious thugs are saying, but then there's the extras. And in that situation, as I mentioned before, was all the Jewish lifestyle and rituals that they were insisting that the new Christians had to add on to their faith. I'll explain it in another way. Is there anyone in here who's a male? Put your hand up. Is there anyone in here who's a male with a green beanie on? There is. Welcome up to the stage, Jacob. Fast game's a good game. Front and centre. Now, what Paul was on about was saying, you don't have to add on all the religious Jewish stuff, and you're a new Christian, and it is faith in Christ alone. But the religious thugs were saying, no, you've got to add it all on. And also the biggie is circumcision. It's in the Bible, check it, it's in front of you. So there was this pressure where they're saying, yeah, you can have Jesus, but it's got to be all the add-ons, all the extras. Man up, Jacob. Man up.
Wrong expression.
Now, by the end of the service, I want you to go away and do your stuff and don't make a mess. Off you go. The extras that Paul was so strongly against. Because Paul understood, as we do today, that with extras in Christian faith, there comes a weight of expectations. And those expectations come upon you and they weigh you down. They're the opposite of freedom in Christ. Years ago when we were newly young married and we had little toddlers, we were going, I was a new Christian, Sally had been raised in a church that her grandfather had built about 70 years before, a little gospel chapel thing. And so I can remember very distinctly after a service on a Sunday morning, we jumped in the car and the kids in the back, we had soup at home, and the shops were 200 metres around the corner. So we jumped in the car, shot round the corner, pulled up right outside Baker's Bakery. So here we are, and I said to Sally, there are changes in the ashtray. And as I looked at Sally, and she's looking around, and I'm going, the change is there, shoot in, Dale, get the bread, we're off home, and away we go, we'll have soup. And the kids are going, yeah, in the back of the seat, so it's fantastic. Sally looked a bit strange. And I looked at her, and she's going, I said, Dale, I know there's change there. She goes, no. She goes, I don't know if we should get the bread. I'm a dumb young Christian, so I'm not understanding what's going on. And I said, what? Is the money? No, I don't know if we should be buying the bread. What? And she said, well, you know, church, Sundays, buying bread. And she goes, you know, our church, then you don't buy stuff on Sundays. So as a young, dumb Christian, I'm looking at the baker's shop going, obviously there's something in the Bible, you don't go to Baker's Delight on Sundays. The weight of expectations they're added on about. That's what Paul was banging on about. A mate of mine, who back then, around that time, some years later, became a Christian. He was married, kids, ex-army, a man's man. He becomes a Christian in his church. He gets invited to his first church wedding. So he goes to the church wedding. It's a hot day. It's in summer. It's hot. So they get through all the paraphernalia and the couple get married and all that stuff. And all happens. They get to the reception later in the day. And they get to the reception and Tony walks in the reception area, stinking hot. And he finds his table is about 10 other church people. So he goes, oh, good, no worries. So he sits down, ready for a great time with them. As a young Christian, sits down. A couple of minutes later, the waiter goes by. And the waiter comes up to the table and he goes, would anyone here like a nice cold beer? And as Tony's going like this, there's this male voice from the other end of this large table. Oh no, none of us drink beer because we're all Christians. The weight of expectations that we add on. Look at this question here for you. What are the nice and proper attitudes that your culture and upbringing has taught you? They could be positive ones. What are the nice and proper attitudes that your culture and upbringing has taught you? How could you add these onto belief in Christ as expectations for other Christians? Quietly, just for 60 seconds, talk to the person next to you. Answer that second part of that question. How could you add these onto belief in Christ as expectations for other Christians? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Just quietly talk to each other. You see, Paul was so strong because Paul realised that with man's involvement in religion always comes with a fee, always. But Christ came to set you free. You see, on your outline there, faith in Christ alone gives you cultural freedom. Faith in Christ alone gives you cultural freedom. What does that look like? When I was a young Christian, really young guy, not even 20, 18, 17, whatever I was, 18 back then, and I was fortunate enough, through the modelling of my older siblings and that, to study hard, so the boy from Noble Park got a scholarship to Melbourne Uni. But all through high school, I had said, I'm going around Australia when I finish high school. So, much to my parents' anger and disappointment and expectations, my mates and I, the day after we finished, within a week or so, took off around Australia to work on the roads, just to see Australia. Now, back then, we were young and dumb young Christians. We didn't know back then that it wasn't cool not to go to church every Sunday. Who would have thought? So we went to church every Sunday, right through Western Australia, right through the Northern Territory, and every Sunday, wherever we were working on the roads and for the councils, we visited Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Charismatic churches, Churches of Christ, Aboriginal churches, independent churches, Anglican churches. We visited all of them. And what was fantastic, even looking back then, was we got to appreciate all the different expressions of worship within the kingdom of God. And we loved it. It was fantastic. And so even during the week, we would either meet those people from those churches, work with some of them. And we got to also see how they expressed their faith during the week, Monday to Friday. And over the decades, I've appreciated it even more that God used that to help me not just see, well, there's going to be one style of Christianity. There's the gateway style, or the Baptist style, or the Anglican style, or the Pentecostal, and that's it. And God helped me to see, you know what? The kingdom of God is so wide, and the cultural expressions are so fantastic. How exciting is that? So much so that the team, as we've done leadership training at Gateway for decades, and our leadership level one people, and one of the things we do is we send them off during the course to visit other churches, to enjoy the different expressions of faith. So much so in recent years, we also send them off to Middle Eastern churches to enjoy the expressions of Christian faith in that cultural expression. And when you understand that, and I had that from an early age as a Christian, you realise there is a freedom in Christ in that way. You see, what did Sally do? worshipping the church that her grandfather built. Two-thirds, I'm not exaggerating, two-thirds of them were related to her. She was the youngest of 36 cousins. The expectations. So what did Sally do at the front of that baker's shop as a young 19-year-old, 20-year-old? She bought the loaf of bread. And my life's never been the same since. True. What did my mate Tony do when one person on the table decided, and he's a raw young Christian, the peer pressure of not even understanding what he's supposed to do. What did Tony, how did he respond to that? He goes, I'll have a beer. And funny enough, decades later I remember, he said, other blokes on the table then went, yeah, I'll have a beer too. Because it was hot. And the point's not the beer. It could be bubbly water, Coke. It doesn't matter what the point was. The expectations, the cultural freedom in Christ that Paul was on about is so crucial to your Monday to Friday life. When you have faith in Christ alone, you also have relational freedom on your outline there. Relational freedom. And Jesus is talking to a young church in the last book of the Bible. And he's talking to these young Christians at a church in Laodicea. And he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. And we'll share a meal together as friends. Now, in the Middle Eastern context, some of you may have experienced this. Sally and I had the fortune, blessing last year of having meals in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. In the Middle Eastern context, when you share a meal, there's friendship, there's hospitality, there's an interest in each other, there's a respect for each other, there's an appreciation of each other. So when you have a meal in that context, it's a really big deal. It's fantastic. So when Jesus is saying, I want to come in, if you ask me to come into your life, I want to interact with you. A meal is about interacting. See, I want to interact with you through your life. And I want to do it as a friend. Now, as Aussies, our traditions are, we know what that means, because we're smart and of our cultural upbringings. Yeah, what Jesus means is, knock at the door, open the door, invite him in, then he's going to truck up and backload 1,000 rules, 1,000 expectations, all the fine print, all the add-ons, and then he wants you to perform like a performing seal. And if you don't, God's standing at the door with a baseball bat. I know that that's what some of you think, because I've thought that way at times. We get sucked in. That's our, you know, Christianity, we've done a bad job in our Aussie context of talking about the real Jesus. He says, I want to come in and interact with you. I want to be friends with you. That's the furthest thing from a God that wants to hit you over the head every time you don't meet expectations. Does that make sense? Paul is so strong about this when he goes back to Jerusalem, because he also understands that in Christ there's an emotional freedom. An emotional freedom. You see, if you get drawn in like quicksand to fulfill everybody's expectations and all the add-ons that Christianity can do at times, churches can do, you can't help but get weighted down. And you can't help but quietly inside, no one else knows about it, but you're feeling stressed because you've got these expectations and add-ons and extras that are being put on you, and you're feeling stressed and frustrated and insecure because are you doing enough for God? Are you earning your way? Is everything working out? Is God happy with me? Am I fulfilling all the expectations? And your soul is getting shriveled and shriveled. And therefore your emotions must be affected. So your emotions are shriveling down. And you end up tired and frustrated and then cynical and then angry. It's not a good thing to be involved in. Does that make sense? You see, when you fully understand, and I'm talking to each of you, not as a crowd, but to you. When you fully understand that the grace of God has been given to you, the forgiveness of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to forgive others, the ability to apologise when you stuff up and sin, When God's grace is brought into your life, is my own experience, everything doesn't happen overnight where you've got it all together. But seeds have been planted. And over time, as you learn to trust Christ more and interact and have a meal with him and do life with him as a friend, those seeds grow and you start to express them, which impacts others. So you've got the grace of God. Yep, I get that in my emotional freedom. But you respond with gratitude. You see, some of you quite naturally are sitting here going, Mark, so far what you're talking about, what it sounds to me like, it's a free-for-all. It's just, you know, it's freedom, 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 and anything goes. But the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. So there's the weight of those expectations, but Christ lived out the Ten Commandments and brought them to life in a way that helps us to actually live life in a great rhythm and respecting other people, thinking about other people, loving God, loving each other, pausing before we decide to run off with someone, being careful with our words. Now, if I tried to follow the Ten Commandments with the weight of it, without Christ modelling it to me, I'd be emotionally stuffed. But when you understand that you are responding to the goodness and the grace of God with gratitude, every day is an adventure. And when you do sin and stuff up, you're quick to apologise. And God says, that's great, we're friends, let's move on. Good on you for acknowledging it. Does that make sense? There's a rhythm. Grace, gratitude. That's what gives you that freedom. And Paul was talking to some young Christians about this. And look what he says here in Colossians, where he's talking to young Christians, remember? They're not mature people, they're young and raw. At one time, he says, you were strangers to God, and your minds were at war with him. Your thoughts and actions were wrong. But Christ has brought you back to God by his death on the cross. In this way, Christ can bring you to God, holy and pure and without shame. Holy and pure and without shame. What does that mean for you? Let me explain through my experience. As I've grown in trusting God more and allowing more of his grace in my life, I realise more and more it's by Christ. When God looks at me, he's looking through Christ, what Christ has done on the cross for me. So when God looks at me, according to the scriptures, he sees me pure and holy and without blame. Even though I stuff up, even though sometimes my addictions get the better of me, whatever they are, and when I sin, but God looks at me through Christ and goes, come on, Mark, I've got a future for you. What does that mean with emotional freedom? It means that as I approach God, as I get older, I don't bow down in shame. And you know, when I stuff up, I try to be quick to apologise, or else my wife reminds me when I have to apologise. But I actually have my head up, because it's by what Christ has done that allows me to have my head up. Yeah. And look God in the eye and say, thanks, Lord, I'm full of gratitude. I stuffed up there. Thanks for reminding me. He says, good on you. Let's move forward. Emotional freedom. Now, I know some of you have been caught in that shame. Oh, I'm impure. I'm not treating that lightly. It shrivels your soul. But when you see through Christ, that's how God sees you. You lift your chin up. Does that make sense? And then lastly, there's an enjoyable life in Christ that Paul is trying to get through to us. An enjoyable life, let me explain it to you this way. Now, there's Christian parties, some Christian parties. I've been to a few wild Christian parties. But there's Christian parties where, you know, you sit with a little bit of finger food. You know, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Marcy, we have great finger food. It's awesome. But yeah, finger food. And no one throws chairs or anything. We're all... That's great. No worries. I'm talking about... Imagine yourself holding a big party. Big party. Get that in your mind. You're holding a big party. You've got the council approvals. The police have blocked off either end of the street for you. The Channel 7 choppers over there film it, because it's going to be a big, big gig. It's your party. Price is no problem. It's all happening. You've ordered in truckloads of pizzas, truckloads of prawns, truckloads of champagne, truckloads of dancing girls. That's just to keep you young blokes focused at the moment. And if you're South African, truckloads of various types of meat. And if you're Tasmanian, truckloads of ice coming in. So I'm talking big party. The biggest party you've ever held. It's your party. You've got to turn the person in. You've only got 3 seconds. You tell them, who's someone famous you'd love to invite to your party? Who's someone famous you'd love to invite to your big party? Go. Now, here's the moment of truth question. Now, this question I'm about to throw at you, it's either yes or no. What's your first response? When I ask you a question, is it yes or no that comes into your mind straight away? Question is, you don't have to share with the person next to you, this is just what comes into your mind straight away. Yes or no? This huge big party that you're having, huge. This big party, would you have Christ on your invite list? Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay, you religious ones, super spiros. But if you did say yes, I would say good on you. You're on the road of discovering more of his grace, of his friendship. If you genuinely said yes, not just because you think that's what's expected in a church on a Sunday morning, but if you genuinely said, yeah, I'd invite Christ, I'd have him on my invite list. I'd say, good on you. You're on the journey of discovering more of his grace, of his friendship, of his interaction with you. If you happened, and you were honest enough, you said, no, I would not invite Christ to the parties I go to or whatever. But good on you. That's not a wrong answer either. But I just say to you, you need to keep exploring grace. Because you see, Christ is offering to be with you, whether you're a Christian here today, you're checking out the faith, you're someone who's walking away from the faith, and you're angry at God for all various reasons. But Christ is with you in the good and the bad, the big parties, the little parties, the laughter, the tears, the accomplishments, the disappointments, the hurts when your kids stuff up, when you stuff up, when you sin. Christ is there, he just wants you to acknowledge him, because he's with you. Does that make sense? That's the Christ that I'm discovering, and that's why Paul was banging on about it's Christ alone. No other extras, no other add-ons. I'll tell you about this guy that I really admire. And over the years, I've got to admire him and trust him more. There's a guy called Dallas Will. Look what he says here. He says, the currently acceptable image of Jesus all but makes it impossible to find him interesting and active and lovable. The responses of the common people to him through the pages of the Gospels show how false that image is. He was such an attractive person and such a powerful speaker that from the human point of view, the leaders of the day killed him out of envy of his popularity. He was a master of humour and often used it to drive home the truths he imparted, as any good speaker does. But few today would put him on the guest list for a party, if it were really going to be a party. Just as we don't think of Jesus as intelligent, we don't think of him as company, someone to enjoy being around. Is it any wonder that someone would rather not be his student? If you get a chance to read through the Gospels, if you're exploring the faith, or whether you're a lazy Christian that hasn't done that for a while, I encourage you to go back, read the Gospels. Time after time after time, mobs of people followed Jesus. He did miracles. He did the forgiveness things. But the Gospels tell you that mobs followed Jesus because he was such an attractive, magnetic, warm, friendly, funny, relevant, switched on, forgiving person. That the mobs followed him because they were just attracted to him. Where did we lose Jesus in our Western culture? In our Aussie culture, where did we lose him? But the Gospels that Paul is so strong about says, you've got to relook at this Jesus, the freedom that's in Christ. Paul was so strong about it that you go around all the churches, the young churches, reminding them of this. And at one point he's talking to these young, raw Christians in a city called Corinth. And look what Paul says to them. He says, dear, dear Gadarites, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in, says Paul. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way because your souls may be a little bit shriveled and it just needs to be opened up again. Paul is so strong on it. It does affect Gateway today. 2,000 years later, what he said to the Galatians has overarched Christianity to this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you touch people like Paul, so many others, the fathers of the faith, the saints of the faith, that the Gospels were written and so clear about what Christ was on about. It's freedom, freedom, freedom. And we follow you out of gratitude because we understand and are beginning to experience the grace of God poured into us little by little. As it starts to grow inside of us, we are responding with gratitude. For those here today, Lord, who are tired in their faith, who've lost their way, for those here who are checking out Christianity, for those here who are angry with you for various reasons, for those here who are disappointed with you, they feel you've let them down, they feel you haven't been around. Lord, I know you've been there with them. In the party times, the sad times, the laughter and the tears. And today, by your Holy Spirit, I ask that each person walks out of here knowing that you've touched them for freedom, for a future, for hope, for them and their families and their future generations. So as they go about their lives Monday to Friday this week, may they rethink about their walk with you. And may it bring a smile to their face, a chuckle to themselves as they invite you in to whatever they're doing this week and walk with you as you walk with them. And we ask these things in the name of Christ alone. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.